Chapter 22. When I stepped out of Earp's cozy home, I was startled by the darkness. Clouds blanketed the sky, shielding even the minimal light from a new moon and the stars. Earp left the door open so I had enough light to saddle Liberty and cinch the flank strap properly.
"Stay on the road, it'll take you right into town," Earp said.
"Trust Liberty," McAllen added. "A horse sees better than you in the dark. And don't take him from a lit barn into the night and expect him to see right away. Horses' eyes take a long time to adjust." McAllen had been teaching me the ways of the West for nearly a year. I guess he wasn't done. I mounted up and said, "When will I see you?"
"I'll be moving into the palace tomorrow," McAllen said.
"Be about town from now on, but tell Maggie to ignore me for a day or two."
"I'll pick her up after breakfast," I said. "Do we have a story?"
"Make one up. Ride careful." With that, McAllen went back into the house. Earp followed, and after he closed the door, I found myself sitting astride Liberty in the pitch dark. I nosed the horse around, and he seemed sure-footed as he walked along at a leisurely pace. Town was only about a mile, so even at a slow tempo, I expected a short trip. In a few minutes, I could see the edges of the trail, but I held a loose rein so Liberty could find his own way. If not for the chill, it would have been a pleasant ride. After about 15 minutes, I grew anxious without cause. I was about to shake it off when I heard a yell.
"Stand and deliver!"
I pulled up.
"Deliver where? I can't see a damn thing."
"Just drop your valuables to the ground and keep riding." I thought about going for my gun. If I couldn't see, then how could the robber know what I was reaching for? While I was making up my mind, I heard a gunshot. I immediately recognized it as rifle fire. I found myself on the ground. Damn, had I been shot? I ran a hand over my face and felt nothing wet or out of place. I saw another muzzle blast and rolled off the road. Where the hell was Liberty? Had the robber killed my horse? Suddenly, anger welled up, and I went for my Colt. After I pulled my coat up, I discovered that my holster was empty. Things were still for a moment, so I hugged the ground and squinted to make out any unusual shapes on the road. I saw something that could be my pistol, and crawled as flat as possible until I could reach out my arm to the object. It was my Colt, thank God. As I rolled away again, I saw Liberty. He was behind me, not ahead. The road bandit must have fired a warning shot to hurry me up, and Liberty had bolted, throwing me to the ground. Now my horse was over 20 feet away, with my Winchester in a scabbard strapped to his side. I looked across the road but saw nothing. I had only 5 shots, so I had to wait for another muzzle flash, or I'd waste bullets and give away my position. What was the robber doing now? Why was it so quiet? I vowed not to be the first to make a noise. At last, I heard,
"Throw your purse out, but I want to hear your gun fly across the road first. I got all night, cowboy."
I could tell his voice was directed away from me. My bet was that he had his back against a tree and was yelling in the opposite direction. Not a bad plan. I swung my legs in an arc behind me and found a tree close by. As I moved to hide behind it, another shot rang out, and my hat was no longer on my head. Damn! That was close. I had been too busy moving low to see the flash, so I still didn't have a fix on his position. Now safe, I yelled my own warning.
"You don't have all night? Virgil Earp will be here shortly."
Bullshit. Let's hear your gun, or I'll put this here next bullet in your head.
"You're dumber than a half piece of soap," I said. "Earp lives less than a quarter mile up this road. He heard your shots." I waited. Then I heard him scurry away in the brush. I started to throw a couple of shots after him, but held back because I didn't want to be responsible for any more killing. Instead, I sat behind my tree and listened. Finally, I heard a horse off in the distance. The road agent was running away. I felt safe enough to collect Liberty. When I got to him, he was skittish as hell, but settled right down with a neck rub and a few mumbled assurances. I realized this was the first gunfire Liberty had encountered. Horses had to be trained to remain calm around loud reports. It also occurred to me that I hadn't practiced with my gun since last fall. I needed to remedy both of those omissions. In a few moments, I heard, "Who goes there?" "It's Steve, Virgil. It's all clear now." Earp approached carefully with a shotgun at his waist. I looked for McGallen, but heard his footfall before I saw him. He was walking to the extreme side of the road with his rifle at the ready.
"What happened here?" Earp asked.
"Highwaymen," I said, but he ran away. Both men came up to my position and looked around. I'm not sure what they thought they could see, maybe more than I thought, because McGallen picked up my hat and handed it to me. I started to put it on my head when I felt something. There was a hole through the crown.
"Damn! That son of a bitch almost killed me!"
I showed the hat to McGallen.
"Doesn't make sense," Earp said. "Everybody knows I live just down the road. Tell me exactly how this happened."
After I told him a short story, both men shook their heads in disbelief.
"Either that was a stranger or someone was out to kill you," Earp said.
"I don't think he wanted to kill me. He could have shot me as I rode up. Why give me a warning?" I asked.
"Don't know, but better come stay the night at my place. You can ride back in the light tomorrow."
I thought about the Saratoga trunk waiting for me in my room. I was anxious to see what was inside. "I'll be fine," I said. "It's a short ride from here, and he won't try again." I mounted up. "I'll see you tomorrow."
"Suit yourself, but something ain't right. We've had some highwaymen to the south, but never up here," said Herb.
I rode away slowly. I was concerned, but in less than 5 minutes I could see a glow in the sky that must have come from lanterns along Whiskey Row. In another 10, I was riding into the livery. After grooming and feeding Liberty, I rushed over to Mrs. Cunningham's carrying my rifle. I never left my rifle at a livery. I nodded politely to a couple of men in the parlor of the house and scampered up the stairs. The trunk was at the foot of my bed. I hung my sheepskin coat on a peg by the door and looked around the room. John had followed my instructions and transferred our things from the palace. Although some men wore a knife at all times, I wore mine only in the wilderness. I wasn't good with a knife in a fight, so wearing one around town made no sense. Besides, the one time a man had charged me with a knife, I shot him. At the moment, however, not wearing my knife meant I had to hunt around the room to see where John had stored it. I found it in a top bureau drawer. The steamer trunk was well built, and I tried many times before I was able to force the lock with my knife. I opened the lid with a little trepidation. At first, I saw only clothing. As I threw them aside, I noticed they were summer garments. At the bottom, I found what I was looking for, or at least I hope so. There were papers, writing utensils, stamps, and gold foil seals. On closer inspection, I discovered that the papers were pre-printed stock certificates for the Edison Illumination Company. These were the phony certificates. Campbell used the stamps and seals to make them look official. I rifled through everything but couldn't find the genuine article. Then I used my knife to slit the lining to check for a hidden certificate. No luck. I sat on the floor disappointed. Nothing had gone right since we rode into Prescott. The man I had come to see was dead. My friend was accused of murder, and the stock certificate for the Edison Electric Light Company was nowhere to be found. My priority had to be sharp, but I still wanted to complete the business that had brought us here. I thought I couldn't be more dejected, and then I saw light leaking through a hole in my coat. I got up from the floor and examined it. The hole was new, with a companion hole on the backside. I put the coat on and stuck my finger through the holes, which were to the side. Damn, a bullet had just barely missed me. I had been lucky twice. Then
a realization struck me. This shot had to be the bandit's first attempt, the gunfire that had spooked Liberty and thrown me to the ground. The implication was undeniable. There had been no warning shot. That man had been sitting in ambush to kill me.